All right, welcome in to the latest R. Bill Simmons podcast. Doing a solo one today. I'm your host, Tribe, and this is about Bill's recent podcast on Tuesday, released the Tuesday night, Wednesday, the one with Doc Rivers and Matt Bellamy. So, Doc Rivers and Bill, I'm loving the chemistry there. He'll be on every 3 weeks, and maybe it'll get old after a while, but certainly it's been enjoyable. And Doc's pretty knowledgeable about the game, has a lot of good takes. And like I said, they have good chemistry. Now, I also like Bellamy a lot. I listen to his talent podcast on the goings-ons of Hollywood. And I always like him and Bill too. I think those guys have good chemistry. They have a good back and forth. Bill views Matt as sort of an expert in the media, in the streaming world, which I would think he is. He's an insider. He gets a lot of great information, has a lot of great takes. I'm subscribed to that Puck newsletter that he writes. Very good, especially for someone interested in media. Now, I liked that podcast a lot. Yet, when I went to the Bill Simmons subreddit, I was surprised because a lot of people were disliking Matt and Bill together. And specifically, they weren't happy about Bill claiming that Netflix had a dominant 2023. They were surprised that he said that when people were saying on the sub that Netflix didn't have many great shows in 2023. I'm referencing a comment here. It's another thing to say, it's just an incredible year for Netflix. Can Bill name a single Netflix show he's watched this year? And did he really talk much about Netflix shows? No, but what Bill was communicating, and I think it was a miscommunication, it was a missed explanation of why Netflix had an incredible year. And I think that's where the difference of the enjoyment came from. I'm very involved with the media industry. I work in that industry, so I know a lot of what's going on. I immediately got what Bill meant when he said that, but I can understand how a lot of people that don't follow this as closely as I do didn't understand that. So today, I want to provide the answer for why Bill Simmons was right saying that Netflix had an incredible year. And if you guys know me, if you guys listen to this podcast, you know I don't often say 2023 ringer Bill Simmons expiring contract and keep cashing them checks mode. I don't usually say that this guy is right. So for him to be right, according to me hosting this podcast, he did something that I'm defending him because he was right. So let's start with this. My take is that Bill was right and Matt was right from the context of Netflix had a great business year. They didn't necessarily have a great content year, although certainly they still keep putting out content people are watching. They had a great business year. And here's why. Because in 2023, Netflix has guided to, and they're well on their way to making $6.5 billion of free cash flow. That's cold hard cash. That means that if they started the year at 5 billion of cash and they get 7 billion throughout the year, they're rocking a $12 billion cash pile. So they're obviously spending it on different things once they get it, but that is pure, that's golden. That's pure free cash flow. Profit, which is determined by company, profit's determined by some different adjustments the companies make. That's even higher than 6.5, but let's use the 6.5 for reference. Okay. So that's huge. And that also compares to in 2018 and 2019, Netflix was losing over $3 billion of cash flow annually. So they turned around a business that lost $3 billion in 2019 to making $6.5 billion in 2023. Incredible turnaround. Now, how did they do this? Well, they're spending a pretty similar amount on content in 2023 as they did in 2019, but they have a lot more subscribers. They have higher priced subscribers because they've been raising prices, and they monetized password sharing, which meant that they got a lot more subs than they would have if they kept the password sharing. So the typical story is that, hey, you finally got kicked out of your sister-in-law's Netflix subscription or your old ex-girlfriend, whatever, after a decade. And maybe you got mad for a bit, maybe you didn't subscribe for a couple more months, but now you're back on, either you're buying the package that you would have bought, or you're maybe buying the ad tier. So a little bit less money, but Netflix still makes a lot of money on that because they're showing you advertisements. So Netflix has proven that their model works, where they're pretty much keeping content spending flat, but they're growing revenue. And so that's growing profits enormously. And the company has said that the only way we're going to re-accelerate content spending growth is if we increase revenue growth. And they're not at the point yet where they're increased revenue growth enough to increase the content spending. But is less content spend actually hurting them? And the answer is no. And I think that's what Bill's talking about when he says Netflix is sort of the new cable TV, where everybody has it. It's like a utility. Everything you watch is on there. And Netflix, he's totally right with that. Netflix is having a huge advantage there. Now, what proved that? It was Suits. So there was some talk in the sub about, hey, I was Suits even that big of a deal? I didn't watch it. None of my friends watched it. Look, anecdotes, personal anecdotes in this business, that's not what matters. What matters is the actual data, if we have the data. And we have the data. We 100% have the data because Nielsen tracks what shows on streamers get watched week after week after week. So they do this by original shows, acquired shows, which is what companies are licensing, and then movies. And they post this every single week. So they do it in millions of minutes. So typically, what you're going to find is the top shows, both acquired and original, they're typically in maybe like a 750 million minute mark to about a billion minutes. So that's kind of what the typical show is. And so, for example, I'm looking at the one for last week, the most recent one. So this is, I'm looking at Nielsen for the week ending October 22nd, 2023, because they're about on a month delay. So if I look at originals, it's mostly Netflix shows, Bodies, The Fall of the House of Usher, Goosebumps gets up there, Disney Plus and Hulu, Love is Blind still gets up there. It's got 70 episodes with 574 million minutes. Loki pops in at the one Disney Plus show other than Goosebumps. And then Netflix also has Lupin, Virgin River, and The Morning Show showed up in Apple TV Plus as number 10. Now, if I'm reading off the acquired, you guys are going to know more about these shows. This is Friends on Max, Shameless Netflix, Simpsons on Disney Plus, Big Bang Theory on Max, Gilmore Girls on Netflix, NCIS Netflix and Paramount Plus, Grey's Anatomy Netflix, then the top show on Netflix and Peacock is Suits. Suits right now is doing a billion minutes just about. But the beautiful thing about Suits is that it got up to over 4 billion minutes at its peak this summer. And it was rocking between 3 to 4 billion minutes for several weeks there. And Suits got to Netflix in the summer, and it's still number one for acquired. So this is a show that it's not one of those The Office or Friends or Seinfeld, one of those legendary shows that everybody knows and loves and will watch. And typically shows up in these top 10 charts. This was a show that wasn't showing up when it was on Peacock. So what this has done is it has showed the power of the Netflix platform. People turn on Netflix to see what is on Netflix rather than seeing what is on Netflix to then turn on Netflix, if that makes sense. Now, that's going to vary, and people, when HBO comes out with a great show, yes, they'll go and they'll buy Max or they'll watch the show, but ultimately, a lot of consumer behavior is simply turning on Netflix and whatever Netflix is going to serve them to the best of their ability, people will watch that show. That's what suits proved. So Bill Simmons and Matt Bellamy, they could have talked about that a little bit more, to be totally fair to the listeners of the BS Pod. But this was why the suits phenomenon was so intense. And what we're seeing now is more and more shows are going to be licensed to Netflix, like Suits. And as I'm about to get into, here's why. So Netflix only has the streaming business. They're going to make $6.5 billion of free cash flow this year. What are the competitors to Netflix? So we've got Max, Disney, Paramount, and NBC. Paramount and NBC are still losing $2 to $3 billion roughly on their streamers. Not that they can't eventually get that to positive, but that shows you Netflix is playing in such a different ball game. And both of those companies have pulled back their spending because they haven't caught Netflix yet. And as I'm going to get to you now, the other parts of their businesses aren't doing well. With Max, they've gotten that to about even streaming, but yet they're still pulling back. So all of these companies are pulling back. This will be less content in the US. This will be completely exiting countries. This will be delaying entry into countries. This is Disney that was burning $6 billion annualized on their streaming, trying to get back to even. So that's where the gap between Netflix and all the others are, is they're making so much money. If they choose to, they can reinvest that money back into content, back into more licensing, whereas the other streamers are playing catch up and they're so far behind. Now, we can also see this in Nielsen viewing data as well, where Netflix basically is 8% of total TV time. Nielsen tracks this. They do it every month. They measure it. Amazon and Hulu typically come in at around 3%, and then the other streamers get maybe 1%. So Netflix is being watched 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 times more than other streamers. Just unbelievable. And that's what Bill is trying to capture in this podcast. But let me talk now about the financial state of the other companies that Netflix is competing against. So the other companies get the bulk of their money from the cable TV bundle. So that's the thing that's declining year after year after year. It's, do I want to pay YouTube TV $80 a month? Yeah, maybe if I'm an NBA fan, I will. Maybe I'll do it just for the season. But increasingly, the 35 and unders really aren't buying too many cable TV packages. So that's hurting the whole ecosystem because when somebody drops the cable TV, that $80 that you're paying to YouTube TV, they then disperse that amongst all the different media companies that have channels. So I talk a lot about how ESPN is basically $10, $11, $12 of that $80 bill. So if a lot of people cut YouTube TV or just the cable bundle in general in a year, ESPN gets a lot less money because it's getting a lot less $12 a month payments from all the video distributors that will then show you video content. If I'm talking about Warner Brothers Discovery, the company David Zaslav runs now, Discovery Network, TNT, TLC, HGTV, Food Network, CNN, TBS, that's all the brands that they have. There's a lot of money in there. We don't know exactly how much of that bill, but it's a decent percentage of the bill, right? Because there's a lot of networks. So let's look at Warner Brothers Discovery. They reported 3Q23 earnings. So that means earnings for the 3 months ended September 30th. They had in their linear network segment, so this is the cable TV business, their earnings declined 9% a year. That's really bad. Especially because Warner Brothers Discovery has a lot of debt, and what debt is measured is, and how the health of a company is measured is debt over earnings. So if your earnings are declining 9% a year, then your leverage is going up, which the financial markets don't like, and it means you have to try to get earnings somewhere else if you're not making them in the linear segment. And so why did earnings go down 9%? Well, distribution earnings were down 3%. distribution is basically cord cutting, herding, and then offset by channel price increases. So, for example, if distribution revenue is down 3%, that could mean, for example, that cord cutting was 8% and Warner Brothers Discovery is getting 5% increases annually in their channel fees. So the difference there is 3%. Now, advertising was down 12%. This is a year over year. So this is compared to the quarter in the previous year, same time frame, but in 2022. And this has been a huge deal recently. As ratings on linear TV collapse because people aren't watching anymore, right? They're with cord cutting, people are still watching sports on linear TV, but the entertainment viewing, the non-sports and news viewing, that is shifting to streaming. So networks like a Discovery Network, like an HGTV, and those are some of the better ones. AMC Networks would be a company that is seeing a lot worse ratings. They might see ratings down 10, 15, 20%. And so for the longest time, this is an annual decline. For the longest time, advertising was roughly staying steady. And it was interesting because as ratings declined, advertising would be fine. The economy has been a little bit off lately. It's been a little bit weaker, especially for advertising. Even companies like Meta and Google are seeing this. You've also got a situation where there's a lot more advertising and media coming online. Netflix is doing an ad tier, Disney Plus an ad tier, basically all the streamers are. So now if you're a company looking to buy advertising, sure, you could go and do advertising on Comedy Central reruns of The Office, but maybe I'd actually want to do that on Netflix. And think about the average age, right? Think about the average age of the typical Netflix viewer versus the typical linear TV viewer. And there's a huge gap. Like linear TV, the news networks, for example, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, their average age is 60, 65, maybe even 70. So advertising money is flowing into streaming and other areas. And then within linear TV, advertising money is going with the proven sports properties, NFL, NBA, MLB. Advertising is strong there, college football. It's very weak if you have entertainment channels. All the media companies are saying this. So my point here is that a 9%, a 7% decline in Warner Brothers Discovery revenues for linear networks and a 9% earnings decline is devastating for the financial model. And how does Warner Brothers Discovery try to make that up? They license HBO content to Netflix. Now, this could be a great business strategy, right? Because you put on Band of Brothers on Netflix from HBO. That show wasn't really being watched on Max. So it's great content. It's proven content. It's got a limited audience. Now you put it on Netflix. It obviously does well on Netflix, but it also raises the viewing on Max. The problem here is that by doing that, you're essentially admitting defeat, right? You're saying that Netflix is this behemoth that cannot be topped. They are always going to have content to serve people. They're even getting HBO shows. Now, Disney is even talking about doing more licensing. Paramount talking about doing more licensing. NBC obviously did the licensing of Suits to Netflix after it had been on Peacock and it had a lot more viewing. So right now, it's a great buyer's market for licensing because all these companies are facing a similar issue of their linear business accelerating losses. And 2023 has been much worse than 2022 because all those negative trends I talked about in 2023, they've accelerated from 2022. So let's also hit on Paramount Plus and Paramount in general. So I mentioned the 9% decline in Warner Brothers Discovery earnings in their linear network segment. Let's look at Paramount TV Media, same thing. In 3Q, we had revenue down 8% year over year, and advertising was down 14%. That was the big killer. So their earnings are adjusted OIBDA, whatever you call the operating income before depreciation and amortization, down 7% year over year. 9 months ended September 30th. So basically, year to date, Their revenue's down 6%. That includes advertising being down 11%, and their affiliate revenue, which is distribution, the cord cutting, that's down 1%. Their earnings are down 12%. Paramount also has a lot of debt. So it's very difficult for Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery to spend as aggressively on their streaming services when the linear TV network is not doing well. And so the broad idea here is that when it was 2019, 2018, and Netflix was racing off and it was crushing it, and they were burning $3 billion a year annually, the stock market was supporting that. All of these media companies jumped in and said, "I want to be a top-tier streamer. I'll use the money I'm making in the linear TV business, what I'm getting from the bundle, I'll pour that into streaming. And a few years later, I'll have caught up to Netflix and I'll be in a great position." And it turned out that didn't happen. Netflix got even stronger. The streamers that these companies are running are losing more and more money, and their linear TV core business is doing much worse than they previously thought. Now, they are still making money. Warner Brothers Discovery will make about $5 billion in free cash flow. So that is a difference, but they have $40 billion of debt roughly, and Netflix has about $10 billion of debt. So that's where the big difference comes in. And obviously, Netflix is on a much better growth trajectory, having the premier streaming asset, whereas Warner Brothers Discovery has a lot of these lower tier cable TV channels that are going to be losing. I think we got to touch on Disney here as well. Disney reported earnings, their linear networks, 9% revenue decline year over year. I mean, this is massive. You can't have a business if you're bleeding that badly in linear networks, and then you also have your streaming service losing billions. That's just not going to fly. And that hasn't flown because Bob Iger has come in. And now Disney is cutting $7.5 billion of annual costs to try to right the ship. That's a huge amount of costs. And a lot of that is in content. So a lot of content that was originally planned for Disney Plus is no longer there. And they're significantly downsizing the amount of new Marvel and maybe Star Wars too, but certainly new Marvel content that is going to be on Disney Plus. So, what does that mean for streaming competition? It's going to be tough to beat Netflix. Netflix is in the driver's seat. They have a massive lead. And the equivalent here would be in 2021, let's say it's a seven game series. Netflix is up 2-0 in that seven game series. And in 2022, when Netflix, the great Netflix correction, as Matt Bellamy states it, the stock got pummeled. HBO was on a heater, and some of these other streaming services were getting a lot of subs. They maybe lost a game, so it was 2-1. In 2023, Netflix has won two games. They've won the series in five games because none of these other streaming competitors are even close to surpassing them. And the beauty of the Netflix business model is they don't even need to create much, if any, original content now. This is what Suits proved. The market is turning towards legacy media companies selling licensing to Netflix again. This is how Netflix became big in the first place in the early 2010s. I grab Netflix, I get The Office, I get Always Sunny. I get Seinfeld, I get I get Friends, whatever show there was, you name it. And there was a moment in time where it looked like there was going to be a few competitors to Netflix. Netflix was still going to be top tier, but there was going to be some competitors to Netflix like Max, combining HBO shows, combining the Warner Brothers library, combining a lot of new content. And maybe they would be a dueling banjos, right? There'd be a dueling banjos situation. And that has absolutely not happened in 2023. So this is why Netflix had such a dominant 2023. They became much stronger on a streaming basis. their competitors' streamers were weaker, and their competitors' linear media businesses, the cable TV business, got significantly weaker, which means going forward in the future, it will be much more difficult for them to catch Netflix. Okay. Final thought here is Netflix and the NBA. So I talked about this in episode 44. I said, I wasn't predicting it immediately, but I said that don't count out Netflix for NBA rights because they very well could be interested. And there's a nice melding of interests where Netflix gets premier sports content, can basically make the documentaries around that sports content, gets new subscribers, maybe even can charge more to existing subscribers. And then that immediately bolsters their advertising tier and makes them a huge advertising player. The NBA, they want the suits effect. They want their, I mean, think, what if NBA got three, four, five times the amount of viewership on Netflix as they did otherwise, because everybody has Netflix. It could be huge for the league. And what did we have? We had a report by the Sports Business Journal that Netflix was interested in potentially the in-season tournament game, in-season tournament games. And then Bill Simmons, talking with Matt, said, yeah, this could easily be the Netflix in-season tournament. And actually, that's why they haven't named it yet, because it's going to be with one of these streamers. So that is why Bill Simmons was right. He may not have effectively communicated why Netflix had such a big year, but that's why. And I would also say that it hasn't really been a great year for original content in general. If I ask people, what's your top HBO show of this year? It's certainly not The Idol. Winning Time was barely watched. You might have to go back to The Last of Us, which, great, that was a show that was watched by a ton of people, but that was a long time ago. So it doesn't matter, really, that Netflix hasn't had one of their cultural zeitgeist shows, as the CEO would say, or as observers would say. That doesn't matter. It's that there's so much watching going on Netflix. And look, if you're someone who doubts this, just think about what your go to your Netflix and see what you've been watching on there. And it's probably a lot of things you wouldn't consider hit shows, but you're watching a lot of. So Netflix has not only been so strong in 2023, but now they're going to be even stronger going forward because DC movies are coming, more HBO shows are coming, Disney content's probably going to come soon. And oh yeah, they just did the password sharing crackdown. And they did a price hike, so they're going to accelerate revenue in 2024. And that may well mean that they can accelerate content even more and spend double, triple, four times what other streamers are spending on content, which means they're going to keep their lead. So I get it. I get why people on the sub and on Twitter were saying, I'm not totally feeling what Bill's saying about Netflix. They didn't have that great content, didn't have a big win this year. No, Netflix fucking crushed it this year. And not to be a pure capitalist, but just look at the stock prices as well. The stock prices is reflective of what the market is currently thinking about these businesses, both assessing them in real time and also thinking about the future. And Netflix has been up 58% this year. So even forget about the absolute and just think about the relative. Netflix is up 58% on the year. And let's get some other companies. Warner Brothers Discovery, down, it's up 12%. So, doing all right, but not great. Disney's up 6%. So, okay. Paramount, I think it's going to be a lot lower than that. Paramount is down 23%. And then Comcast, not as meaningful for NBC because Comcast trades more on their cable business and really cable broadband business. So Netflix has outperformed significantly this year because investors are seeing what Matt Bellamy and what Bill Simmons are seeing, and they're saying, wow, they've got an unmatched lead in streaming that will take a lot to mess up. And so ultimately, felt like I needed to get that out there because I wanted to say Bill Simmons was right. And I don't usually say that, but I did want to say that. So, look, fun pod. I enjoyed that one with Doc Rivers and Matt Bellany. Cheers to those guys. Cheers to the people in the sub that maybe wanted this as a little bit of insight for why Bill was right. So I'll end it there. We've got more shows in the way. And with that, I'll see you guys in the next episode.